Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, what up? Welcome to The Best of the Best. Today is Friday, June 24, 2022. My name is JC Tevez. Welcome to the podcast about my life and nothing else, but stick around. You might learn something new. Happy Friday, everyone. How's your week? Anything exciting? I just came from a debut hosting. This is the first hosting or the first debut that I've hosted since the pandemic. And this is also the first debut that I've hosted that had like celebrities there. I say that because I didn't know who they were, but then I looked them up on Instagram. They have like 100,000s of followers. So the debutante, her name is Jazz. Jazz Henry, she's part of a girl group, a P-pop group. So think like, you know, K-pop, P-pop, a group called G22. So before I got this hosting, I never actually heard of them, you know, sorry to say. But then I looked them up, they're actually really talented. So G22, if you want to see their video, there's the one song called Bang, which is kind of a bop. So her name is Jazz. So she's part of a four-girl group called G22. I have no idea what G22 stands for. I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to come off as like, oh, you don't know? And then all the attendees, not all, but a lot of the attendees, the baguettes, the young kids, right? They were famous too. You know, there's one blogger that I'm sure, so out of all the people that I knew on the list, I knew Mika Salamanca, who is a vlogger. You probably heard of her. And there were some people didn't show up. I guess they were busy, but on the names that were on the list, but they couldn't make it, like Inigo Pascual, AC Bonifacio. Shit, I have the list here on my phone, actually. Kylet Chatty, right? So these are big names. But the thing that I wanted to share, so first of all, happy birthday to Jazz. She's really nice. She's from Australia, Mike. So I was looking them up, and I've never heard of these kids. But they're also good looking, and they all, cause there's this one portion of the debut, cause you know in the debut, they have 18 whatevers, right? So they have like 18 roses, 18 candles, 18 gifts, 18 shots or whatever. So in this one, because you know, they're so fucking talented, I guess they just wanna flex their shit. 18 melodies, which I've never ever had before in a debut. I've never hosted a debut where they had 18 melodies. So what they did was, it was the guys, and it was 18 of them. They all came up and sang like a little snippet of a song and, you know, just gave a little message. And I was like, holy fuck, these guys are so good. Like, they were really good. Like, it wasn't a cringe thing. Because I could imagine this being done by, you know, just in another debut, but with people far less talented. And I'd be like, fuck, I don't want to hear the next guy say. But in this case, they all, most of them, some of them weren't singers, but they were like actors, I guess. But they were really good. So when I looked them up, I was like, who are these kids? And it's not shade towards them. It's just, I guess that's how out of touch I am with like the local emerging pop stars. Not just pop stars. I think they're also movie stars or whatever. Entertainment stars. So I was like, who are these kids? Like, have you guys heard of a guy named Patrick Quiroz? So look him up. Like, how many followers? I'll give you a guess, all right? If you've never heard of him, how many followers do you think this kid has? All right? I'll let you have a guess while I pull up his Instagram. Yeah? Any guesses? This kid has 326,000 followers. Holy shit! And he was the guy that sang, like, he was the performer of the evening. He had two songs. Dude, he kid is good. Good-looking kid. He looks like he's, like, half Italian or something. But I've never heard of this kid. And then I looked up the rest of these other guys. 100,000 followers. 150. The debutante has like, I don't know, 80 or something. So all in all, I think it's safe to say this is the first debut I've hosted where almost everyone there has more followers than me. I'm not counting, like, I'm not flexing that I have a lot of followers. But normally I have more followers than most attendees at a debut. But this is like the opposite. I was like, oh my God. And there's like, there were like members of other, like a P-pop boy group. And these kids, I think because the template, right? The standard, the gold standard is K-pop. So you can see the influence is there. So these guys have fucking pink hair. You know, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying like, it's crazy. I could never pull that off. Bleach blonde hair. And you can tell their outfits. They look like they're pulled out of a BTS video. So all these kids, man, just, it's incredible. Like, who these guys are and the success that they have at such a young age. Cause I'm sure most of them, the oldest ones there are probably like 23, 24. And the rest are probably, you know, 18, 19, 20. So, yeah. The reason why, by the way, like there's so many, I mean, obviously because the debutante is a, you know, I don't know, is it a minor celeb? Cause I don't know how many of you have heard of G22. I'd consider it minor celeb. Like, I always look at the hierarchy of celebrities. In the Philippines, when I think of A-list, I think of like Vice Ganda, who else? Ann Curtis. What is this, dude? Something keeps fucking popping up on my phone. I don't know, like, do you guys hear that? What the? Okay, someone's, like, I don't know what that's playing. Anyway, let me go back to what I was saying. So yeah, Heart Evangelista, you know, Ding Dong Dantes. Anyone where if you go to the middle of the street, and you ask him like, hey, do you know who this is? Most of them would say yes. Cause how many people would, if you go into the middle of the street, and you say, hey, do you know who this is? Do you know who, what are these guys' names? Hold on. Do you know who C13 Sarawas is? I had to call someone by their boy band name. C13. Like, that's the name he goes by. Wow. Do you know a guy named Sam Kafranka? I don't know if he's a celebrity. I think he was. But, yeah. So, I guess minor celebs. Back to what I was saying. See, Jazz, the debutante, she's a member, or she's a talent under the management of Cornerstone. So, Cornerstone is famous. You guys probably have heard of Cornerstone. My friend Marky Strome. You guys know Marky Strome. If you're an RX fan, you know who Marky is on the Morning Rush. Theater guy. Who else is under Cornerstone? I think Catriona is under Cornerstone. Is she? I'm looking at Cornerstone's Instagram right now. Who do I know from Cornerstone? I know there are like former talents in Cornerstone. Jason D? Is this Jason D? Oh yeah, Jason D. Jason D? I know Jason D, the singer. Yeah, so, I mean, Cornerstone. I think Moira is also Cornerstone. Moira. So that's why there are a lot of Cornerstone talents there this evening. The event was held at a clubhouse called Don Jose Heights. Don Jose Heights Clubhouse. But on the invitation, so they fucked up the invitation. Everyone was originally directed to go to Don Antonio Heights. So Don Antonio and Don Jose are pretty kind of far from each other. So I got there early already. I got there at 5. The thing was supposed to start at 7. I got there at 5 to the wrong venue. They made me get there. It took me like another 30 minutes to get to the right place. But we didn't even start till 9, bro. Fucking Filipino time, man. But it was a lot of fun. I feel like this was one of my, you know, ever since live events have come back. I mean, live, when I say live events, like with an audience. Because I've had live events where the audience is virtual. This is, I think, I feel like I'm getting back in the groove. Because I've had a few live events lately. And I know I didn't do as well as I should have. Like, I think I did okay. Like, I hosted that, you know, at the wedding I complained about on Halala Show about the planner who I was fucking so mad at. I know I didn't do the best work I've done ever at that wedding either. But this one felt like a kind of a comeback. You know, like my comeback performance. Right? Kind of like when, I'm trying to think who's made a great comeback into the scene. Jennifer Lopez? No, she's always been there. Who's had a great comeback, like, after taking a long time off? I guess Rihanna? No, not Rihanna. I can't think of one right now. But I feel like this was my comeback performance. I did really well. And it was a lot of fun entertaining the crowd. I guess because maybe there were, like, baguettes, you know, young kids there. So shout out to Jazz of G22 and Cornerstone. Thank you for having me as your debut host. And I was able to meet some cool people there, make some cool connections, which is always the goal when you're out there. You know, you're basically whoring yourself out to the audience, hoping that you can land a gig with someone else at another time. Because that's how it works. Repeat performances are at least... that's how I've gotten most of my work in the last 6 years, is if I do some good somewhere, someone heard of me or someone watched me, and then they got me for another event. And then they get you again. They keep getting you again. So just keep doing good. Anything else I want to talk about today? Some stuff that I watched. I rewatched the movie Flight Plan, starring Jodie Foster. Have you guys ever seen that? It's a ridiculous movie. The premise is Jodie Foster goes on a plane with her daughter. Her husband just died. So they're flying his body in his casket on a plane back to the United States from, I think, like Germany or somewhere in Europe. And then she falls asleep and then wakes up and her daughter is missing. And then, so she tries to find her daughter and no one believes her that her daughter was on the plane with her, because the daughter doesn't exist on the manifest or whatever. You know, it sounds like a great thriller and it's still entertaining, I think. But when you think about it after you watch it, and spoiler alert, yeah, if you're, it's a 2005 movie. So was that 17 years ago? Such a terrible, like, writing. It's so stupid. Like the guy and girl who planned this, abduction in order to get ransom money or whatever, or not ransom money, like, money. They're trying to pin this on Jodie Foster's character. Just the amount of coincidence that has to happen for their plan to work. It's so fucking, like, if you think about it, you're like, this is the dumbest. This is the dumbest thing ever. They planned for Jodie Foster and her daughter to get on a plane, hoping that no one on the whole goddamn plane would see her with her daughter. And then they wanted to pin it on her to make her look like she was crazy. And all of that relied on nobody seeing her on the entire plane ride. Like, at least boarding up until they abduct the daughter. It's so insane. It's so insane how, like, they thought that was the best plan. But it's still entertaining. You know, it's worth a watch, I think. Just as a, you know, just as a dumb, you know, time-filling movie, and with great acting by Jodie Foster, by the way, who is a fantastic actress. She is, I mean, I've never put Jodie Foster as my, I don't know if she'd crack my top five actresses, but she's got to be up there on people's list. Jodie Foster, I mean, she was in Hannibal, right? Or she was in Silence of the Lambs, right? Which one was the one with, because in the first one, Hannibal, oh no, in Silence of the Lambs, it was Jodie Foster, right? And then the Hannibal, it was Julianne Moore, if I'm not mistaken. Let me take a look. I'm going to Wikipedia. Yeah, Silence of the Lambs, where she played Clarice. What else has she done? I've seen a lot of her films. I cannot, like, Panic Room. Oh, she was great in Panic Room with a young Kristen Stewart. Flight Plan, Inside Man. Oh, yeah, she was Inside Man. She was the, what was she there? I don't know. Was she working with Denzel? Trying to think what else she's been in. Huh. Elysium. Yeah, see, I can't really think, but she's a great actress. After that, what else did I watch? I picked up the new Amazon Prime TV show based off of the books by Jenny Han. Jenny Han, JC. Who's Jenny Han? You know her. She wrote the To All the Boys I Loved Before books, which were turned into Netflix films. You know, with Peter Kavinsky, played by Noah Centineo. And what's that Asian girl's name? The Asian girl, played by the Asian girl. Forget her name. But this is also based off a book. The name of the book that this TV show is based off of is called The Summer I Turned Pretty. So instead of a movie, it's a season. 7 episodes. I'm 2 episodes in. Kind of slow. Everyone's beautiful. Like, the girl's beautiful, there's brothers, 2 hot brothers, and then, like, another guy who she meets on the beach who's also kind of hot, everyone in this place, in this summer town. So the premise is, this girl, her name is Belly. And every summer, she goes to this place, this beachside place, with her mom and brother, and they hang out with another mother and her two sons. And they've been doing this for years. And then, but this summer is different. She grew some boobs, right? And she's, that's why it's called The Summer I Turned Pretty. So this summer is different, ladies and gentlemen. She has grown into a woman. So one of the, you know, two episodes in, I don't really know where this is going to go. I looked up the trailer, and I think it's supposed to be like a love square or triangle between the two brothers and another guy. So basically, it's just a teen movie, but 7 episodes in. Would I recommend it? I mean, episode 2, it's all right. I'll probably just keep watching it because, you know, I'll watch it. I got nothing else to do. So yeah, that's what I'm watching right now. What else? Shit, I'm trying to think. I rewatched The Magnificent Seven, starring Denzel and Chris Pratt and Vincent D'Onofrio, what's his name? The guy from Daredevil, Kingpin. Pretty, and you know, I've watched that movie more times than a lot of movies. Strangely enough, I don't know why. It has a lot of replay value. I probably watch it once every like 2 years or once every year. Because I kind of forget what happens, but then when I watch it, you realize you don't really have to remember. You just have to fast forward to the cool parts. So if you haven't watched that, it's about this town that get overrun by this guy named Beaumont. I forgot his name. Played by the main bad guy in Flight Plan. That's how I actually remembered it. So the main bad guy in Flight Plan, the actor, I forget his name. He's the main bad guy in Magnificent Seven. So this guy takes over a town. So the town folk, they go hire these bounty hunter guys to take the town back from this guy. So who's the first guy they hire? The main character is Denzel Washington. And then Denzel Washington hires Chris Pratt, and then they recruit 5 more people. So it's 7 of them, Magnificent Seven. Who else is part of the Magnificent Seven? Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, I don't know how to say his name, the guy from Daredevil, Kingpin. This Native American guy, I don't know his name, but he's really buff and hot. He shoots arrows. Byung Hin, I forget his name, the Korean guy from G.I. Joe. He throws knives. He's awesome. And who's the last guy? This Mexican guy. So they get 7 guys. They take the town. They hold the town. It's apparently based off of one of the classic films, which is always taught in like film schools, and it's always rated as like the best movies of all time in terms of films, in terms of the history of films. They always list this movie. You guys have heard of this. It's a Kurosawa movie called The Seven Samurai. Have you guys ever seen it? That movie is garbage. Look it up. Akira Kurosawa, who is like a well-renowned, like universally beloved by film scholars as one of the best directors of all time. Seven Samurai from 1954. What's the Rotten Tomato score? 100%. That's how much people dick ride this movie. Why did you watch it, JC? I watched it for a film class. This movie is so fucking boring. I kid you not. You know, and I will get a lot of flack for this, especially I've talked to like film critics before, and I always tell them like, man, I fucking hate that movie. And they're always like, well, and you know, and I can tell they're already judging me because I didn't like this piece of shit, boring ass movie. I feel the same way about like The Seventh Seal. Have you guys heard of The Seventh Seal? That's also another movie. The Seventh Seal from 1957, directed by Ingmar Bergman. This movie is so fucking slow too. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. This one is about the journey of a medieval knight and a game of chess he plays with the personification of death. Just reading that makes me want to fall asleep. I watched this for a humanities class in college. Look, The Seventh Seal, according to Wikipedia, is considered a classic of world cinema, as well as one of the greatest movies of all time. Get the fuck out of here. But anyway, Magnificent Seven is also based off of, like, a lot. I think it's like the themes of Seven Samurai. I'm not sure if the cinematography, I watched it a long time ago, so I don't really remember, because I choose to make it, you know, get it out of my memory. Because it was so boring. I was, like, so bored. Okay, so anyway, I'm on Wikipedia's page. List of films considered the best on Wikipedia. Let me see. Genres or media. Okay. Action. Mad Max 2. Die Hard. Okay, there we go. That's like, I can stand by that. Die Hard. Animation. Toy Story. Okay. But where is the national polls? Let's see. Is there a national poll in the United States? Citizen Kane. Never seen it. Gone with the Wind, never seen it. Casablanca, never seen it. Baeng, you guys know Baeng. I always talk about Baeng on the podcast. Baeng, my boss and good friend, my former boss and good friend at RX. He loves that stuff. You know, he loves Gone with the Wind. Or what, I forgot which one Baeng always tells me, you should watch it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch it. I know I'm going to hate it. I watched one time because I was dating a girl before who really loved Scarface. So I watched it. I fucking fell asleep. Oh, Scarface, so boring. Say hello to my little friend. Oh, God, what a boring movie, man. Scarface. Get the fuck out of here. Okay, so yeah. Magnificent Seven. What else? I am about to rewatch after this podcast, maybe. Maybe tomorrow I'll watch it. Independence Day. Because I got Independence Day because I rewatched a couple days ago Pacific Rim. It's on Netflix. Pacific Rim? Now that, friends, is a good movie. Right? If you're gonna spend a night, you know, a Saturday night, you're gonna hang out with your friends. I cannot tell you, like, if you were gonna put on Seven Samurai or Pacific Rim, there's no question. I don't know. I would hate to be part of, like, the film crew circles, you know, the film school crowd, and you go to their film party on a Saturday night. Hey, let's watch a movie. Sure, man. And then they fucking put on Seven Samurai, bro. Fucking, that's like the opposite of a popcorn flick. You would probably choke on your popcorn because you fell asleep. The Pacific Rim, though, that movie is fucking awesome. You know, there's kaiju and the Jaegers, the machines. There's humor, there's action. I don't think there was love. Was there like some sort of sexual tension between the Asian girl and the main guy? I don't think so. I think it was more like a brotherly thing, right? I'm not really sure. They didn't kiss. But, you know, if you want that, there's that. Like, if you want the little will they, won't they aspect. It's a great movie. Idris Elba had a fantastic speech. And that's why, Idris Elba has a speech, right, towards the end, where he's like, tonight, we are canceling the apocalypse. And I was like, that reminds me of the speech that the president in Independence Day has. Before he gets into the airplane with the rest of the fighter guys and they go fight the aliens. It's like, today we are, I forgot the exact words, guy, I looked it up on YouTube. It's like, today we declare our Independence Day or something. That's a speech too. Makes me want to vote for him if ever he was a real president. So I'm going to rewatch Independence Day with, you guys have seen Independence Day, right? Jeff Goldblum, Jada Pinkett's husband, Will Smith, anything else? I'm eating some. Oh, by the way, guys, have I recommended to you Cha Cha sunflower seeds, spiced flavor, best shit you could ever get. They sell it at Landers, but if you want to get it, I think they sell it on Lazada and shit too. It's so good. Cha Cha sunflower seeds, spiced flavor, life changing. Anything else? I think that's it. 24 minutes in. That's a good podcast length. I have a hosting this Saturday as well. It's the it's the studio show, the second leg of Fiesta Filipinas. If you want to catch that, by the way, it will be live on YouTube, Facebook, and whatnot. Just search for Fiesta Filipinas. It's on the DFA Facebook and YouTube page. So Department of Foreign Affairs, because that's who, you know, the big bosses are, the ones that cut the checks. So if you check it out, we're going to go live pretty early in the morning, though. So if you're up early on a Saturday, I think we start at like 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., go check it out. But it will be available for replay, too, in case you're a normal human being and you're not awake at 8 a.m. on a Saturday. Is there anything else that I... Oh, yeah, you know what? I just watched the latest trailer for season 4, the second half of season 4 of Stranger Things. So now, if you're a Stranger Things fan, if you haven't caught up yet, this is the end of the podcast. Be gone. I'll see you guys next week. But if you want to hear my thoughts on it real quick, I think I shared my thoughts, but now we can talk about it, spoilers, for at least the first half of season 4, okay? You guys ready for it? Yeah, great show, season 4, man. Like, it's, for me, the best of the 4 right now. Like, I think it was 4-1-3-2. I really did not like season 2. That's the one with the other sister, right? The sister from the lab. What a stupid side plot. But season 4 has, I think, hit the mark on everything. So, so good. My question is, though, someone's gotta die, right? For season 4 to feel like there's some sort of impact, someone important has to die. Because they always kill off, I wouldn't call him second, yeah, no, they always kill off secondary characters. I mean, the saddest death in the whole show so far has been Bob, right? From season 3. That was pretty sad. But Bob was only in season 3. Or was it season 2? When did Bob die? 2 or 3? I don't remember. Season 3. Or 2. Fuck, when did Bob die? Season 2. Yeah, because at the end of season 3, she was already ready to bang Hopper. So I think it was the end of season 2. So when Bob died, but Bob was only in that season, I think someone from season 1 has to die. Like season 1 up until season 4. So one of the kids... Yeah, one of the kids. Kids, I include Steve Harrington, Nancy, and Jonathan as the kids. Like, the core kids have to die. I don't think they're going to kill off Winona Ryder. Because, I don't know, I just feel like they won't. They won't kill off Hopper because they already gave the fake out at the end of season 3. Like, that would be stupid. You're like, oh, you killed him, but you'll just bring him back. They won't kill off Hopper. If they kill off the guy, what's his name? My arms are iron, my feet are like spears. That guy, the one who's helping Joyce. I forget his name. I like his character a lot, but he started in season 2. So he's still but he's not a main character. They have to kill off one of the kids. Who do you think it's gonna be? Cause if they don't, it's gonna feel like a cop out. Cause they're killing kids left and right this season. Right? They fucked up the little nerd kid, the nerd kid, Nancy's, editor or whatever. They fucked them up, right? They killed the cheerleader in episode 1. No mercy. They almost killed Max. But Max, that's the thing. Max, it would be a sad death. But they already killed their brother. And I didn't care about Billy. Do you care about Billy? Season 3? I don't miss him at all. I mean, Max is, you know, whatever. But if they kill off Dustin, that shit would be heartbreaking. If they kill off, because me, personally, the most heartbreaking to me is if they killed off Steve Harrington. Right? That would be the most gut-wrenching death. Because he's my favorite character in the whole show. Him and Hopper. Those are like my top two. I used to like Dustin, but then he became kind of a bitch when he had that, D'Artagnan. That season. When he was taking care of the upside down, like the Demogorgon baby. Stupid. Such a stupid, stupid kid. But, it would still be sad if Dustin died. Steve Harrington? Nancy? You know what? Nancy dying? I'd be okay with. Because it gives enough gravitas because she's a main character. Right? It's a main character. But I don't care about her that much. But it would still be... It would be like, damn, they actually killed off Nancy. Same with Jonathan. Now he's a stoner, right? I don't really care about Jonathan either. But it would be kind of sad. It's a bigger death. It would be a bigger death than Bob's, in my opinion. In terms of the overall impact. I would still be sadder. I mean, Bob's death is still sadder than if Nancy or Jonathan were to die, right? Because I don't care about Nancy and Jonathan. But you guys get what I mean, right? Like, they need to kill off someone main. Heartbreaking would be Steve Harrington. Trying to think. I don't like the kids anymore. You know, as the seasons progress, I like them less and less. The one I like now, out of the four main boy kids, I like Lucas the best, right? Lucas, the black kid. He's awesome. Cause I feel like his aging seems the most fluid. I don't know if that makes sense. Because Dustin looks like he hasn't really aged and they're still trying to, does he have teeth? I don't know. But Dustin just got more annoying over time. Mike is such a little bitch boy. I fucking hate Mike. I've hated Mike since season three. Right? Season three or two. I've hated Mike since season two. Cause he was just such an angsty kid. And I get it, right? He's supposed to be angsty cause he's 15 or whatever. But the way that he did not stand up for 11 in the roller skate rink, that shit pissed me off. Right? That shit pissed me off. I was so happy when that Ariana Grande looking fucker got a roller skate to the face. That was such a great moment in season four. But Mike didn't do shit. And neither did Will. See, Will, on the other hand, Will has been fucked up so much already in the first two seasons that killing him would just be like, it's the easy way out. It would be sad, but you're like, dude, he was dead for two seasons anyway. You know what I mean? So who do you think, JC? Who do you really, because I don't think they're going to kill off Eddie, right? The new guy. They probably won't kill off the stoner friends, the Argyle. Is that his name? I mean, that would be just, you know, it wouldn't really make sense. And I don't think they're going to kill off the jock guy, who, by the way, I'm not mad at. You know the jock guy, the guy who's the boyfriend of the cheerleader, the one who's super religious and shit? A lot of people hate him, but if you watch it and you try to be reasonable, he has a pretty reasonable character progression. Because he doesn't know shit about the upside down. He doesn't know anything about what happened through seasons 1 through 3. So what he knows from his perspective is, he saw his girlfriend go with Eddie into his trailer, and then she got fucked up, and then Eddie ran away, and then when he finally catches up to Eddie on the boat, his friend gets fucked up in the, you know, the other jock gets fucked up in the river. And he has this mind conditioning, like Dungeons and Dragons and shit is evil. So in that sense, I see where he's coming from. And I don't think he's acting out of character. He's trying to get vengeance for his slain girlfriend. And, you know, he's got testosterone and shit running through him, whatever, right? So I feel like he's acting pretty rationally because the cops aren't doing anything. So he's taking matters into his own hands. So I'm not even mad at that guy. But if they kill him, you know, it wouldn't matter either. So, shit. I've just been rambling about why I hate the kids in Stranger Things, even though the show is fantastic. Who do I think will die, and who do I want to die? I already said, I don't mind if Nancy and shit die, Nancy Jonathan. Who do I think will die? Shit. I honestly think Steve Harrington's gonna kick the bucket. They faked him out, right, in this season when he first went into the upside down. And then he got attacked by the flying bat fuckers. But is that enough? Is that like the fake out? And then is that like Glenn from Walking Dead hiding under the dumpster? And then they're going to actually kill him off? They could be a fake out before the real thing. You know, oh, we faked out his death, so he's definitely not going to die. And then they kill him. Yeah, man, I think Steve might die, bro. Because Dustin, I think, is a fan favorite. I mean, Steve's a fan favorite. But the core of the show is really the main kids. Even though Steve Harrington is probably the most popular character next to Hopper and Eleven. They won't kill off Eleven. That's stupid. Wouldn't work. They need her, right? She's the superhero. She's the only one with powers. Lucas. You know, Lucas is like a... That would be a surprise, and it would actually kind of be sad. Because Lucas is the least annoying out of all the four. He was kind of a bitch boy in season one when he didn't like Eleven. But he was also acting, I think, rationally, because they were missing Will, right? Will was in the Upside Down, and they were like, why are we being friends with this weird bald girl? Let's go find our friend, man. But Lucas would actually kind of hurt. Lucas would kind of hurt. Mike, you know, fuck him. Fuck it. Kill Mike. I don't give a damn. Yeah, so watch season four if you haven't already because, oh, if you made it this far, then I already spoiled you. But I am sure if you're a fan, you can't wait till July 1. Watch the trailer. It's on YouTube. Looks amazing. Although I'm not a fan of the song that everyone loves. I hate that song. Like, I don't find it fun at all. Even if you add the emotional weight of the scene, I can't stand the song. What's the name of that song? Running Up the Hill? Or whatever it's called? It's like, it trended. How much money did that lady make, right? From this song, Running Hill? Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. My first time to ever hear it was on this show, so maybe that's why it doesn't hold any nostalgic value. It's called Running Up That Hill, A Deal With God. You know, the scene with Max and Vecna, and that's the song that saves her from getting her body turned inside out. That song sucks. All right, that's it. That's the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. And let me know what your thoughts are on the new season. Who do you think is going to die? Message me. Message me on the podcast Instagram. Who do you think is going to die? Stranger Things, season 4. And let me know if you like the Seven Samurai, if I offended you. That's it. Follow me on social media, and I'll catch you all. Say it with me. Later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.